Our sermon today is the prelude to what we heard from the elders reading today from 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 31 through 37. David was told that Ahithophel was among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, "O Lord, I pray you turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." When David came to the summit where God was worshipped, Hushai the Archite came to meet him with his coat torn and earth on his head. David said to him, "If you go on with me, you will be a burden to me. But if you return to the city and say to Absalom, 'I will be your servant, O king, as I have been your servant, your father's servant in the past, so now I will be your servant,' then you will defeat for me the counsel of Ahithophel. The priests Zadok and Abiathar will be with you there. So whatever you hear from the king's house, tell it to the priests Zadok and Abiathar. Their two sons are with them there, Zadok's son Ahimaaz and Abiathar's son Jonathan. And by them you shall report to me everything you hear." So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city just as Absalom was entering Jerusalem. Thank you, God, for encouraging us to explore the wonders in your word. Well, here we are at the letter H in our Through the Bible A to Z series, and here's a harrowing history from the life of King David. Now, who doesn't love a good spy story? And who'd have thunk there was a rip-roaring one right in the Bible? Man, this tale in 2 Samuel has everything. Family intrigue, betrayal, political manipulations, backstabbing, a rebellion, and a loyal follower who takes a great risk to help a friend in need. You heard how it came about that Hushai the Archite infiltrated the camp of David's son Absalom. See, Absalom was trying to take the throne away from King David. Absalom used to get up early in the morning and stand beside the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone brought a suit before the king for judgment, Absalom would say, "Your claims are good and right, but there's no one deputed by the king to hear you. If only I were the judge in the land, then all who had a suit or a cause might come to me, and I would give them justice." So slowly but surely, Absalom stole the hearts of the people of Israel. At the end of 4 years, Absalom said to King David, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow I made to the Lord. I vowed if the Lord would bring me back to Jerusalem." He had been in exile for orchestrating the murder of David's other son, Amnon, who had raped Absalom's sister, Tamar. See, what did I tell you? Family dynamics, vengeance, duplicity, and where was I? Oh, yes. So Absalom had promised that he would worship the Lord in Hebron if he ever returned to Jerusalem. The king said to him, "Go in peace." And Absalom's name means "my father is peace." So Absalom went to Hebron, but he sent secret messengers throughout all the land of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then shout, 'Absalom has become king at Hebron.'" Alarmed at the unfolding drama, David and his officials fled from Jerusalem. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, back in Jerusalem, Absalom was putting the finishing touches on his coup. With him was Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's own counselor. It was said that in those days, the counsel Ahithophel gave was as if someone consulted the oracle of God. That's why David asked Hushai to thwart Ahithophel's advice. Whatever Ahithophel said, Hushai was to counter it with alternative advice that would benefit David rather than Absalom. Now, why did Ahithophel turn against David, effectively committing treason by throwing his lot in with the usurper Absalom? Some biblical scholars speculate Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba, the woman with whom David had committed adultery and whose husband David had caused to be killed in action to cover up the pregnancy that resulted from that affair. If Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather, perhaps this was his way of getting back at David for disgracing his granddaughter. It's interesting to speculate. At any rate, Ahithophel told Absalom to sleep with David's concubines, thus claiming them as his own and submitting his status as king. Ahithophel also said, "Let me choose 12,000 men, I'll set out and pursue David tonight. I'll come upon him while he's weary and discouraged and throw him into a panic, and all the people with him will flee. I'll strike him down and bring all the people back to you." While everyone else agreed this was a good plan, Absalom still wanted to hear what Hushai thought. And Hushai, thinking on his feet, said to Absalom, "This time the counsel of Ahithophel has given is not good." He reminded Absalom that his father and the men with him were fearless warriors, and they were mad now, like a bear robbed of her cubs. He reminded Absalom about David's skill as a war leader. He wouldn't spend the night with his troops. He would be hiding somewhere else. If Absalom's troops went out and were defeated, that would discourage all the people following him. Instead, Hushai told Absalom to gather everyone in Israel, the people from Dan to Beersheba, from one end of the country to the other, and lead them into battle himself. With this army behind him, they were sure to catch David wherever he happened to go. Absalom and all the men of Israel said, "The counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel." They accepted Hushai's advice. They trusted Hushai's tactics would work. They knew he used to be the king's friend, but now he had thrown his lot in with Absalom. He'd even called Absalom king. They had no reason to doubt Hushai's sincerity or suspect his motives. You know, of course, this was all God's plan. God had ordained to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel so God could ruin Absalom. Did Ahithophel realize this? When he counseled David, did Ahithophel first consult with God and try to discern what God's will was and then convey it to the king? Was Ahithophel so used to being heard and heeded that this first time he was undermined, it shook him to his core? Because the story goes on to say, when Ahithophel saw his counsel was not followed, he saddled his donkey and went home to his own city. He set his house in order and hanged himself. He had lost face, and now he had lost his life. This is a terrible, sad story all around. It ends tragically with Absalom defeated and slain, and David reduced to a blubbering heap of sadness, lamenting, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would I have died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son?" The rebellion was crushed, and David was still king, but at what cost? Was this the end Hushai envisioned when he told David he would serve as his spy? Did he think the result of the squashing of the sedition would end with Absalom's death? Did it have to be that way? Whose life was worth more, David's or Absalom's? Hushai's decision was that David needed to be saved and protected, not Absalom. Even more important, this story makes me wonder, how much can we ask of our friends? Are we ever allowed to ask a friend to risk life and limb for us? I'm sure Hushai, as a, what do they call it, a mole, doing counterintelligence, I'm sure he must have been nervous every step of the way, hoping he could keep up the charade, hoping the troops and Absalom's officers would indeed listen to what he said rather than what Ahithophel said. Did Hushai pray? We know David prayed, asking God to turn Ahithophel's counsel into worthless words. Did Hushai ask God to give him the right words to counteract Ahithophel's advice? Did he ask God to keep him safe as he strolled into the enemy camp, as he falsely swore loyalty to Absalom, knowing all the time his heart and his mind were with David? Would God honor that type of duplicity? How did David instill such a fierce loyalty in someone enough to make them tear their own clothes in distress and disfigure themselves with dirt, and then, at David's behest, swagger into the pit of the person seeking his life and do whatever he had to do to save it? We hear it was God's will that Ahithophel's counsel would come up empty and void, so this must mean God was still on David's side. This king God had brought out of the fields with the flock to shepherd God's people, Israel. But was Hushai's loyalty for David alone, or was he being loyal to the God of Israel? Hushai jumped at the chance to spy on Absalom for David, and Absalom's defeat was a direct result of Hushai's presence in the usurper's camp. He sent a warning to David through Jonathan and Ahimaaz, who were very nearly caught when they tried to leave Jerusalem. What made them willing to risk their lives for David? When David's troops headed out to battle, David watched them go. His own heart was torn between love for his son and dismay that Absalom was trying to overthrow him. He told each commander, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. But if David thought there was room for forgiveness for Absalom and maybe they could rebuild their relationship and everything would go back to normal, the commanders knew they had no other choice but to kill Absalom once he was found, no matter how much it would break the king's heart. And it did. We always try to find a silver lining in hard stories like this one. It is, in one sense, a story about loyalty. Did Hushai feel manipulated and used? Was he looking at the bigger picture and purpose? What would life in Israel be like under arrogant, abrasive Absalom instead of wise and God-fearing David? Did God speak to Hushai about what he should do? Was David right in asking Hushai to take such a risk for his sake? Again, are we to ask our friends to do something drastic, dastardly, and devious for us? Is that the point of this story? Or perhaps we are encouraged to think about what we would do for our friends and our family, how far we would go to prove our loyalty. What would we do if we were ever called to be a Hushai or had to ask someone to be a Hushai for us? Have you ever had someone, put at stake so much for you to be willing to risk their life for you, to put themselves in danger for you? Indeed, we do have a Hushai of our own, someone who went to bat for us, someone who gave the last full measure for us and offered his life for us, not so much because we deserved to be saved or we asked for it, but simply out of love and devotion for us, as flawed and fallible as we are. Yes, we're only up to H in our Through the Bible A to Z series, but this story certainly points us ahead to the letter J, to Jesus, who offered himself up for us, who was willing to take an unfathomable risk for us. He went into the enemy's camp to set up an escape plan for us, an escape plan that involved him giving up his own life for us. He out-Hushai'd Hushai. He turned the tables on the evil escapades of our ancient enemies, sin and Satan, and through his sacrifice, he secured for us a place in God's heavenly realm. Did David ever thank Hushai for all he did for him, for accepting the challenge and going along with David's idea to foil Absalom and regain his throne? David asked Hushai to lie. David asked Hushai to be willing to die. The least David could do was to thank him and reward him once David returned to Jerusalem and resumed his reign. Loyalty deserves to be recognized. Someone once said, a faithful friend is one of heaven's best gifts, and we are impressed by Hushai's loyalty, by the lengths he would go to help David, to reinstate him, to go above and beyond the duty asked and required of a friend. It's commendable, but it doesn't compare to what the ultimate friend of us all, a king himself, has done for us. Indeed, Jesus is one of heaven's best gifts. He accepted the challenge on our behalf, knowing how it would end. He took the blows, knowing it was worth it because we are worth it. He bore the pain and the cross because he is just that kind of friend, that kind of savior. And unto him we must offer our own fierce loyalty, following Hushai's example and striving to be just as steadfast, just as fearless, and just as willing. Here's to Hushai, and here's to Jesus, the king who didn't send someone else out to save him, but instead sent himself to save us. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, we love you for your loving, saving sacrifice for us. In return, accept our loyalty as we accept your challenge to live in faithful service to you and to the God who sent you to us. Amen.